Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
We're in a series called Truth Is, and I don't want to start out heavy, but I feel like we need to understand the truth and the gravity of what's going on in the world around us sometimes. This gentleman does training that sends missionaries to other parts of the country, of the world, and got a message back that some of the people that he just trained and sent over there were just murdered, were killed for their faith, and they were martyred for their faith. And I felt like, as I was reading, as I was listening to that, it was like God had a wake-up call for me. He said, man, we live in such a comfortable world that we live in right now. We live in such comfortability, if that's even a word. And God has called us out to be, he said some of these people were facing death with a smile on their face. Come on, I asked myself, could I do that? I don't want to stand up here and act like I'm holier than thou, or I don't know what I would do in that situation. But let me tell you something. They have a hope that goes beyond what this world shows. And they have sold themselves out. As I said a couple of weeks ago, they have taken a stand that they are going to talk about the name of Jesus Christ, even if it costs them their lives. Come on. That means that we should be able to talk to people in our workplace. We should be able to talk to people in our families. We should be able to talk to those on the street and really share the gospel of Jesus. You know what? Share the testimony of what God has done in your life. Sometimes you don't got to have the right verse. Sometimes you just got to say, man, God is good to me. I used to be lost, but now I'm found. I was in darkness, and now I see the light. Sometimes we got to overcomplicate it, but we live in a world right now that needs Jesus. There's no other name but the name of Jesus, and we live in a world that needs him. So as we recap, I talked about taking a stand, and we were talking about, is the Bible still God's word? Is it still relevant? Is it alive? And, you know, the Bible says it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is still relevant to our world that we live in today. And we talked last week about the Ten Commandments. Are they still applicable to our life? You know what? We make a lot of to-do lists. Anybody like to make, I said last week, you like to make lists? My wife has a list a mile long. Sometimes half of it's for me because I don't keep lists. But we have a lot of to-do lists, but I want to share a couple of not to do on your list. Thou shalt not answer your wife too quickly when she talks to thee. Thou shalt listen first, then speak. I have broken this commandment, so I'm going straight to hell. I've broken this one a million times. Thou shalt not answer calls from an unrecognized number. I didn't even realize how much warranty I had on my car. And then they say, press 2 to be taken off this. Uh-huh, yeah, right. You still get that same phone call, right? Thou shalt not take thy phone to the gym. We don't want to see pictures of your biceps and 30-minute leg workouts. Thou shalt work out. Amen. Trying to be funny, y'all. You have to balance your things to do with the things not to do. The last of our commandments state our duty to ourselves and to our other people. They help us understand the second greatest commandment of all is to love your neighbor as yourself. As we look at this first one, it says, obey authority. All that, everybody's done shut their ears off, you know. We don't want to hear about authority. We don't want to hear about obedience. That's another word that we don't like to hear either, too. But Exodus 20:12 says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long, which the Lord your God is giving you. My mama used to say, you better fulfill this commandment or your days are going to be shortened. And she wasn't joking either. But honor meant this, honor means to prize highly, an attitude of respect and reverence. A biblical family is always constructed of a mother and a father, and they form the authority of the house. Honor your father and your mother, obey them, and value them. Value them when they're 80. Value them when they're 85. Value them when they're 90 years old. I see it a lot in the states that I go and visit, and I see a lot of people being put into assisted living, and you know, but I do see the value of, hey, we want them to be not lonely. We want them to make sure. And I've heard a lot of people say this: my mom and dad took care of me my whole life. How can I not give them the last 4 or 5 years of their life? Honor your mother and your father. This is literally the foundation of our nation. It's the foundation of our society and of our community. God authorized three institutions of authority in society. First is the home. Honor must begin at the home. But culture says this: honor thy father and thy mother as long as they give you everything that you want. Here's the commandment from Pastor Rich: thou shalt not give them anything that they want. We live in a very entitled culture. Give me, I want that. I expect this, you owe this to me. And I can tell you with a surety, when you do that for your kids, you're raising a generation of people who are gonna always want something. They're always gonna be pulling it down and expecting something. You always want it better. I always wanted it better for my kids. I grew up kind of poor, and I always wanted it better. But I kind of created a false better for them. I gave them anything that they wanted. And a lot of times it showed up in one of my children that it was not good for me to be overshadow him and give him everything that he needed in his life, because it made him turn into a little bit of an entitled kid. But you have to be able to understand, you create this in your children. Listen, I'm gonna help some of your family, some of your mothers and fathers. No means no. It doesn't mean ask dad, because he's the easy one. That's me. It doesn't mean to ask mom. No means no. I can remember my mom said, no means no, and don't even go near asking your dad, because my dad was a little bit more of the yes man. But my mom took care of that. She said, no means no. And if you ground your kids, stick to the grounding. I remember Cain. I've told this story before. If you've heard it before, you hear it again. But we would ground Cain, and he would make our life so miserable. You were grounded for 2 weeks, and we would be like, oh, Lord Jesus, this is only day three, and he's driving us crazy. And there were times, you know, we were pretty strict on him. She was more strict on him than I was. But there were times when we were like, after the third or fourth day, just go. Don't do it again. Sin no more, but just don't do this again. But a lot of times with discipline, we have to be able to follow through with that. And, you know, how about that kid in the toy aisle that's screaming and crying? My mom would have been in jail. She would have been under the jail if they had cameras back then. My mama took business right. She took care of business right in where she took care of business. But a lot of times we see this so much in our culture that we have to know that kids, you got to listen. This is to some of y'all teenagers over here too. Come when they call you. Go where they sent you to go. Do what they tell you to do. And don't do what they tell you not to do. Come on, if we just go by that, you'll be good. Your parents will be very happy. Parents, I'm just telling you, you're the first teachers. You're the first line of offense. You teach your kids. And kids learn to honor their parents by seeing their parents honor God. When they see that example in the home, when they see that Cam and Maitland are now honoring God with their lives, it shows up in your kids. It shows up into your future, into generations. So how you act at home and what you do at home, it 100% matters, because that two-year-old is watching every move you make. They're listening to everything that you're saying. They're going to repeat it, so you better not say it. I ain't even going there. That may be for next week. Honor and respect are not perfection. There are no perfect parents in this room, including me. If I could stick up both my arms, I would. My mom was not a perfect parent, but at the end of her life, I mean, she tried to make amends and do the right thing and tell me how. I had the best relationship with my mom the last 5 years of her life than I did my whole life. It's because I had to get to the place where I forgave her And I had to get to the place where I understood she wasn't perfect and she was doing the best that she could. Sometimes people hold on to what their parents did or what their parents didn't do when they were children. And it keeps us locked in anger, keeps us locked in bitterness. It keeps us locked in unforgiveness. I had to write a letter about a year ago, and it was pretty long. Well, I actually talked to text it because I don't like to write. But I wrote a letter, and I had to send this letter out, and I had my lovely wife proofread it. I was making sure I had it all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and said the right things. And because I was transparent about how I felt, and because I was transparent about the way I felt like I had messed up and I've asked for forgiveness, it's already started a trend of reconciliation. So I'm telling you, if you've messed up with your kids, it's not over till it's over. Come on, somebody. It ain't over till it's over. Keep pressing, keep going after God and believing that God is going to restore. He's already, we see the evidence of what he's doing in our family right now. I mean, I could testify all day long about what he's doing right now. Our honor comes from, and our thing of the church, sorry. We are to honor the church. We're to honor spiritual authority. Children, obey your parents. And it also says leaders in the Lord. Submit to counsel and correction. And we are also to honor the government. Exodus, I'm going to prove it to you. Exodus 22, 28. You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. I'm not saying they're perfect. And I'm not saying this is a Republican thing or a Democrat thing or an independent thing. The Bible says to pray for the leadership over you. Again, I'm not taking a stand or a side this morning, but what would happen if we as a country would stand behind whoever our president is and stand up and say, I'm going to pray for the leadership of our country. I'm going to pray that God is going to take us to a new level in leadership in God. 1 Peter says this, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. This is the Bible. It's the Message version, but it's still the Bible. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's, listen, emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that they do good and might cure the ignorance of the fools who think they're dangerous to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity, love. Come on. Revere God, respect the government. How and what do we pray? For God's will to be done. Pray that leaders act with wisdom, whoever they are, whatever they believe, that they act with wisdom. And that whatever happens, pray that they align with God's word, because that's what's going to change our country. So we're talking about respecting authority, which is parents, teachers, officials, police. When's the last time? Come on, somebody. When's the last time you saw a police officer? You said, thank you for your service. We appreciate what you're doing. I do that with veterans. I do that with police officers. I do that with firefighters, because the Bible says to honor those who have authority over you. Thank them. That's a thankless job right now. Y'all didn't. How can we obey this commandment? Understanding this commandment is larger than just parenting. You may be sitting here and not have kids yet. Maybe you've had family issues and no parents, or there's been an absence. Here's a good place to start. Honor your heavenly Father, love and serve and honor God and your church family. So many times we if we could just get our honor with God right, we would honor everyone else right. Exodus 20:13 says this, you shall not murder or kill. Murder, homicides in our cities is crazy right now. Chicago, I mean, it's going off the charts right now, of the lawlessness that's going on. St. Louis and Detroit. And do you know that Louisville is ranked 15th in the nation with homicide rate? The Bible says, do not kill. And the Hebrew uses the word ratzah, which is more actually translated to murder. Do not commit premeditated homicide. I'm going somewhere with this. Distinction is significant because the Bible does allow for killing in self-defense, war, capital punishment. But this commandment shows us that God esteems life highly. Every single life. All of the 62 plus million babies who have been killed since 1973. I'm not sorry. Thou shalt not kill any, culture says this, thou shalt not kill anyone who is not an inconvenient child. You shouldn't be punished for a baby and that one little mistake you made. After all, it's your body. Who am I to tell you what to do with your body? Can I just tell you, if that's happened in your life, you don't always have to live with it. God forgives. God understands. He knows our bad past. I'm not even talking about that mistake. He knows all of our past mistakes and the things that we've made made trouble with. He covers our choices. I said this before. I said, I make mistakes. There's been times when it ain't been a mistake. It's been a blatant choice in my life. I chose to do what I chose to do. But here's the thing about a merciful and loving Jesus that we serve. He takes your sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west. And he says, I don't remember any of them anymore. So many times we allow the enemy, he may be in this situation too, to come and rehearse the past and keep talking about what's going on in our life. And we need to tell the enemy, it's already done. Because when he said it is finished, he took care of it. Oh, valuing life is not just about talking about life, but it's how we treat others around us. Matthew 5:21. You've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say to you, if you're angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, how many times I say idiot all the time. I'm getting convicted. You are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. This is the Bible. It is not me making up things. I didn't come up with this. You could be a killer and not even know it. Anger is a killer. Violent emotions is a killer. Bad intentions are a killer. Bad thoughts are a killer. We think about murder as in killing somebody, but we have killed so many people with our words. We've destroyed so many lives with our words. We have to be able to understand it. We can emotionally and mentally kill someone. You can kill yourself. He killed, by the words that were spoken to me as a child, it killed my self-esteem. By the words that were spoken to my beautiful wife, it brought her to a place until she got healed and delivered from it. Your words, parents, that you're peeking into those, I can't even talk, I'm so excited. That you're speaking into the lives of your children matters so much. You need to get up and tell your kids, I'm strong. Come on, I ought to have you up here. Oh, I'm kind. I'm sweet. What else was there? I'm funny. I'm smart. What you pour into your kids when they're little. Pastor Mindy does that affirmation with our grandkids all the time. And I'm praying that one day when somebody tells them other than that, they're going to come back and say, I'm strong. I'm smart. I'm beautiful. Come on, it matters what you say. Keep on doing it, babe. This commandment forbids hatred, malice, any provoking, insulting a language. Exodus 20:14. I'm about to meddle. You shall not commit adultery. This is a statement about sexuality, and the expression of our sexuality must be with and only in marital boundaries. Sex and marriage are two of God's greatest gifts, and a relationship can be intimate, life-giving, joyful, as long as it's in a marital relationship. It's gonna take some W-O-R-K. My wife has been working overtime with me. You can say amen, it's okay. It takes work to make this thing work. And anything outside of that is not aligned with God's word. No experience can be as intimate and powerful as sex within the marriage covenant. But because marriage and sex are gifts from God, the devil is going to go out and he's going to try to just set up confusion to everybody. We should expect confusion. We've heard some people, even when they were younger, now that they're older, sex is bad. It's just, it's nasty. And we're not understanding the true thing that God made it for between a man and a woman. They are likely to be perverted by, twisted by the world because the culture says this: thou shalt not commit adultery and get caught. Actually, it's best if you just sleep around and live with anyone and everyone. Never get married, because you know why? Everybody's doing it. There's a statistic that says this: 80%, listen, of professing Christian are having marital sex. Huh? Did I say premarital? Oh, no. You married, go for it. Go. Sorry. Thank you for correcting that. I would have had a whole bunch of people say, what did Pastor Rich just said? They're having premarital sex. And you know what this does? Breaking this rule breaks you and it breaks families. The Bible says to actively pursue purity. How? Watch out. Watch out for things that pollute your imagination. Watch out for those things that raise your passion level. And the way you can get around is you develop a relationship with Jesus. And when you start getting closer to Jesus, those things will get farther and farther and farther apart. Your language will change. Your mind will start changing. Your social media will change. Had to get rid of Instagram. Too much scrolling, too much stuff I wasn't even supposed to be looking at. So many things, it's right at our fingertips. So the easy thing that we can do, it's not easy, but it is easy. We can eliminate some of those things that are causing us to have stumblings and just stumblings. Develop a true relationship with Jesus and it will change everything. And the next commandment is, don't take it. Exodus 20:15 says, you shall not steal. The eighth commandment shows us to love and respect the property of others. What rightfully belongs to someone else is not yours. But culture says this: thou shalt steal if you need it. Bible says don't take it. $13 billion a year is shoplifted every year. 86% of the people said they've never stolen anything. Have you ever downloaded a song and it was supposed to cost you something? Ooh. Old me, that's me. But I heard of someone contracting debts without ever the intention of paying them back. Extravagance, wanting to live a lifestyle outside of what they normally can. And evading the payments of just debts too. Here's one that everybody got to hear this: taking someone else's time. If you are habitually late, come on. You are stealing someone else's time. Oh, I'm going to leave it right there. I think that preaches fine right there. The Bible says in Malachi, will I rob God? We ain't getting into an offering and a tithe message, but if we're stingy to give to God's house, we could be in trouble there too. There is forgiveness though. If you repent and pay it back, you do something to help someone, and you share and be generous with what you have. Can I tell you that generosity unlocks the blessings, not just the blessings, but just the blessings overall. When you're generous and you're generous with your time and your talent and your treasure, God can do so much more with your life than if you're stingy, you want to hold it back. The worldly things that allotted to us, obtained by honest way, are gifts from God, and we ought to be thankful for them and be contented for them. Exodus 20:16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does that mean? Well, this version, it means don't lie. This commandment, you can all come on up if you want to. This commandment is broken every day by a lot of people. Culture says this: thou shalt not lie for any reason other than to get yourself out of trouble, make yourself look better, or get ahead in work. Actually, it's fine to lie as long as you come up with some way to justify it. You have my permission to get morally outraged when someone lies about you. You ever see the clickbait on social media? You won't believe this. What happens next will shock you, and then you click to it, and it's like, I'm about ready to break this thing. But a white lie, there's no such thing as a white lie. But what happens is when you talk about a white lie, it all of a sudden turns into a darker lie. Because when you tell one lie, you got to tell three or four more to cover it up. I know, I'm preaching this morning, y'all. If that baby ain't cute, don't say it's cute. I mean, there's been times where I'm like, that's a boy. Or is that a boy? I don't know. It could be a girl. But if that baby ain't cute, you don't got to tell him it's cute. Because that could be a lie. Babies are precious. I love them all. Some are cuter than others, though. But when we talk about our words, gossiping and backbiting is lying. Lying to hurt someone's reputation. And I got this right here. Think before you speak. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Truthfulness will always be a part of you if you're authentic. I think that, I'm just going to be honest. A couple weeks ago, I caught myself telling a story, and a quarter of the story wasn't true. You ever catch yourself telling that story, and all of a sudden you've added this to it, and you've added, come on, y'all. Y'all aren't holier than thou. You've done it before because I did it. But you've added this and you've embellished on that, and before too long, it's like, you get convicted over that. You ever been around someone who you know they're lying and you just know it, but you listen to that lie. Sometimes it just gets bigger and bigger. Exodus 20:17 says this: you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This commandment forbids all wrong desires of having what someone else has. We want to gratify ourselves, and we want to keep up with the Joneses. I've said this before, but the Joneses are broke. Not all of them. Not these Joneses over here. They're blessed and highly favored in the name of Jesus. But we see it all the time. We want this and that, and we don't understand what's going on in their lives. We don't understand the bills they got to pay. They're living paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes living on credit card to credit card. Culture says this. You're going to like this one. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's super sweet 72 high-inch resolution smart TV with an entertainment center and surround sound that could knock your socks off. You can hook up your PlayStation and play for 3 hours on that puppy. Oh, wait a minute. What am I saying? You shall not covet. Covet is to greatly desire something that isn't yours. David walked out, a man after God's own heart, and he walked out on his roof, and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And Bathsheba looked good. And all of a sudden, he wanted that. He started coveting what his neighbor had, and he took her, and it turned into lie. It turned into murder. It turned into a lot of things that he had to cover up. the enemy came to Adam and Eve and said, you're going to have power. You're going to be like God. He made them want to covet that power. God places boundaries in your life regarding our wealth, our positions, and our status. Why? Why does he do that? Because we have a selfish nature. We want what we want. We want it when we want it. It's just how we are. Greed oftentimes is an underlying factor that governs our economic system. We see it in the world today right now. But why would God include coveting in the same as murder, stealing, and adultery? Because God knew that coveting was a stepping stone to ungratefulness and discontentment. We live in a world that's very ungrateful right now, and even we as Christians sometimes, you gotta testify about what God's done to you. We need to be more grateful about how good he's been to you. I said this last week, I'll say it 100 more times. You shouldn't be here today, but God was merciful and he had grace upon you. We live in such a discontented world right now. We always want the next thing, and God says, you're not prepared for the next thing. Be faithful over this thing, and I'm gonna give you the next thing. Focusing on what others have diminishes our ability to appreciate what God has done in our life. Be content with who you are. The Bible says you're fearfully and you are wonderfully made. So many times, comparison is a killer, because you'll never live up to what you think. You may not ever live up to it. You may not even know that it's worth living up to. If y'all would stand with me, if you can. Listen, talking about this in the kind of the way that we've brought it out, we're all guilty of breaking these rules. But the heart of the problem, listen to me, the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. And here's the thing. God can change the human heart. The Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. And here's the thing. The world is crashing and beating, and Jesus is standing at the door. He's just knocking ever so slightly. Come on, let me in. Let me in. Will you just let me in? The world screams it. Jesus whispers it. If you need a heart, Gary had a heart transplant, and he's doing well. But he had a physical heart transplant. Some of us need a spiritual heart transplant. The heart is, oh, it's disgusting. It's wicked above all things. Thank you, Pastor Sam. This morning, I'm going to ask you to let God change your heart. Let's have a heart transplant this morning. And you know where you start? You start by giving that heart, relinquishing that heart to Jesus this morning. That's coming to Jesus and saying, you know, maybe you've never made this profession. Jesus, I give you my heart this morning. I ask you to forgive me, not just of the Ten Commandments. Forgive me, God, of the things that I've done to displease you and to hurt your heart. I asked the Lord a couple weeks ago, I said, what am I doing to hurt your heart? Man, there's a lot. He wants to do something so significant in your life. And he can change that if you'll change your relationship status with him. Can I tell you this morning, you're not automatically a child of God. We need to be adopted into his family. And when we're adopted into his family, that means we have a heart transfer. We transfer what we want to what he wants. That's the problem we run into right now. No, I'm supposed to be closing. It's that transfer that we're having the problem with. We want to give God, maybe God, I'll give you this. But no, hold on, man. I'm gonna put it back here, and I may need it later. But God is looking for us to transfer our hearts. Say, God, here it is. I've been messed up my whole life. And I need you, because you're the, can I just tell you, there is no other answer. There is nothing else this world needs but Jesus. If you did nothing but come to this church every Sunday and we preach nothing but the world needing Jesus, we would not run out of material because the world needs Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but through him. That's the only message you need. John the Baptist, he was kind of a boring preacher, but he said, repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is upon us. He went to the next revival and said, guess what his message was? Repent. I think if we start living a lifestyle of repentance, you know, he didn't have to keep his notes on iPad because he had the same message. Let's accept this gift this morning. Get ready to sing this song. Let's all bow our heads. There's a gift of salvation God wants to give this morning. And it's accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life. Again, I'll reiterate, you can do that by just saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me my sins. I've messed up. And you can use it in your own words. Man, I've really made a mess out of my life. I need you to forgive me. And I repent this morning. I give it all over to you. I repent, and I don't want to have to think about it again for the next 10 years, Lord. But maybe you're here today and you've made that profession, but there's still things in your life that you're still holding on to that God says, if you will relinquish your command over one finger at a time, man, I can take you from here to a place that you've never been before. This morning, these altars are open. And I know we say that all the time. There's gonna be people up here praying on the left and the right with us if you need prayer. But there is freedom in this place. There's freedom when you take a step out and say, God, I'm taking a step out in boldness for you this morning. I'm gonna take out a step for you because I am tired of being in this position. And so many times we can take this easy step. I remember my last story, I promise. I remember I've been running from God, running from him. And I went to this little church of God. And I was standing in the back row. And I was gripping that pew so hard. There were people in that church that knew me. And I was letting that keep me from doing what I knew I needed to do. I was lost. I'd been running from God. I'd been doing some bad, bad things. And I remember when I took that step out, Gary, it was like there was freedom. Yeah. I think I floated to the altar. Come on, I think so many times in our lives in anything that we do, not just salvation, if we'll take that one step, if you'll take that one movement, God can change anything and everything. Come on, don't be afraid this morning. Take that step.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.